Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit U, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities. You can find Nonprofit U on Facebook and Twitter, and I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags NonprofitU, U.S. Census Bureau, or Making Our Assets Count. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_U. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. In order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account, and you'll find a link to open the account on the episode page. You may also email me questions at consulting@valeriefleonard.com or send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit U fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU. We'll be taking questions by phone and from our chat room at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is area code 347-884-8121. Today's episode is Making Our Assets Count, Learning to Navigate Census.gov Like a Pro. We'll talk about the new updates to census.gov, the American Fact Finder, the economic census, and ways that nonprofits and small business owners can use the website to create data sets and maps for proposals and business plans. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and participate in live chats at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit and economic development professionals are especially encouraged to call in and share your war stories and strategies. Today's guest is Ileana Serrano. She's the data dissemination specialist with the Census Bureau, and she's going to share with us, some of, the work that she does. It tells me that people tend to think about the census as an event that happens every 10 years. They'll be amazed at the resources that the Census Bureau has for small businesses and nonprofits to take to make plans and then take their plans to the next level. The American Fact Finder and Economic Census can help nonprofit leaders and small business owners develop customized data sets to develop business plans, proposals, programs, advocate for their communities, and roll out new products. The Census Bureau is part of the U.S. Department of Commerce, and the U.S. Census Bureau is overseen by the Economic and Statistics Administration, or ESA. This is all within the Department of Commerce, and the Economics and Statistics Administration provides high-quality economic analysis and fosters the missions of the U.S. Census Bureau and the Bureau of Economic Analysis. You can find a bio for Ileana on my blog, and you can go to Nonprofit U under episode 9, Making Community Assets Count. Go to valeriefleonard.com/nonprofitU and click onto the episodes page. So Ileana, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to work with the Census Bureau?
Well, thank you, Valerie. And first of all, I do want to say thank you for inviting me to be a guest on your show. And I hope to share with your listening audience as much as I can on the Census Bureau and what we do and the data that it produces. A little bit about myself. I came on board with the Census Bureau in the 1990 decennial. I was kind of curious to see what it was all about and how it was done and what came of it. And through the process, my supervisors kept asking me to come back and work on another project and another project. So officially, I came on board. And through the 90s, I was working special censuses. Basically, through the 90s and 2000s, I was working on special censuses, which is kind of mini decennials going on at the local level. And after that, during the 2000 decennial, I was asked to come in and work as a regional technician. And basically, you kind of have to be a little bit of have knowledge about everything from HR to operations and certain census things to help out the region, which at the time was only three states. And following that, for 2010, I was on board again for the decennial as a partnership and Partnership Specialist, and basically served as a liaison for the Congressionals and also the Spanish Language Contact and National Corporate Partner Liaison. So I have had the opportunity to work in between the decennials on surveys, such as the Survey of Income and Program Participation and the CPS, or Current Population Survey, American Housing Survey, and many one-time, you know, specialized surveys. So varied experience from the Census Bureau since I started.
Oh, that's great. So thank you so much, Ileana. Can you give us an overview of the Census Bureau, its purpose, what it does, and some of the latest developments of which we should be aware? So clearly you guys do more than knock on doors every 10 years.
Yes, absolutely. essentially, as a part of the Commerce Department, the Census Bureau's mission is to serve as the leading source of quality data about the nation's people and economy. And we do honor the privacy, we do protect the confidentiality of the responses and the respondents, and share our expertise globally, and we do conduct our work openly. Its purpose, that is its purpose and its mission. What the Census Bureau does is it measures the nation's people, places, and economies. The Census Bureau is the leading source of statistical information about the nation's people, providing snapshots of the size and growth of the nation's population, as well as detailed portraits of the changing characteristics of our communities. Census Bureau, I should say, is often the only source of statistics at the local level on a yearly basis, and that is given even the smallest communities accurate, timely information that is essential for their decision making. The Census Bureau also provides critical, timely information on the health of the U.S. local economy. We have statistics that provide clear and detailed pictures of the entire population, reflecting the growth of the population as well as the changing characteristics of the American population. Through the census of governments, we do have information about our economy, our standards of living, our educational progress, our well-being of our veterans and people with disabilities, and the condition of our nation's homes. Communities rely on Census Bureau statistics for everything from planning for new businesses, schools, roads, hospitals, to school lunch programs. In other words, you have Head Start that uses a lot of census data. And through the economic census, we have information or statistics about the economy that are essential to understanding the competitiveness of the U.S. businesses and industries and conducting sound public and private sector planning. What do I mean by this? For example, we have economic assistance programs and emergency and transportation planning that rely on information about business location, the size and other characteristics available only from the economic census. So we have a lot of people that depend on our data. Businesses rely on the American Community Survey and economic census to understand the local markets, the local workforce, commuting patterns, the economic activity of that location or that area. State and local governments use the econ census for statistical forecasting, a lot of economic development, and budget and program evaluation. And through the American Community Survey and the census, Congress has information that can give them good statistics on their policymaking for veterans benefit programs, Voting Rights Act, Age Discrimination, Employment Act, and the National Affordable Housing Act through the HUD and the Housing Survey. So there's a lot, varied and a lot of information out there.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. I just want to remind our listening audience that we'll be taking questions by phone and from our chat room at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. And in order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account. Please do call in. We're looking forward to a lively discussion. So, Ileana, the Census Bureau works with C-SPAN's America by the Numbers, And a number of Census Bureau representatives have participated in interviews to provide valuable insights into numbers that can measure the health of our nation. Can you tell us more about the show and when our listeners might tune in?
Absolutely. C-SPAN's America by the Numbers is on Fridays in the mornings, and experts inside and outside the federal statistical system join together to offer engaging interviews about the numbers that measure our nation. We have compelling statistics highlight the issue affecting life in America. And the show is about 45 minutes. I should say the program is about 45 minutes, and it focuses on issues of the day through the lens of public insight into the federal statistics that may help them form their views. It does help build statistical literacy so that viewers can recognize the importance of federal statistics and trust the method of collecting, analyzing, and disseminating that information in the products that result from that from those statistics. Audiences do and can participate through social media and call in questions. And if you would like, all you need to do is, if you would like to do Twitter, you can ask a question of any segment using hashtag ABTN, which is America by the Numbers. We also have a site on census.gov that you can go in our newsroom tab and view and listen to any of the pre-recorded C-SPAN or archived C-SPAN episodes that we have had in the past. The three most recent ones is the Who Votes in the Congressional Elections. Then we have Union Membership Statistics in America. And one that was quite popular was Young Adults Then and Now. So you can view not only these years, but the previous ones that have been archived.
Wow, that's pretty exciting stuff. So the census, the economic census from 2012 has just been released. Can you share some of the highlights from the economic census?
Certainly. The economic census is the only consistent source of statistics from the national to the local level on U.S. businesses. The economic census provides detailed information by industry for every state and county in the U.S., as well as for more than about 900 metropolitan areas. We do the economic census every 5 years. The last complete data set available is from the 2007 economic census, and we started to release the 2012 in March of 2014, and hopefully we'll conclude it with the release of the survey of business owners later on this year, I believe around December. And then we're already in the plans or in the works for the next economic census, which is in 2017. Through the economic census, it provides information on more than 1,500 cities and towns in the U.S., including data for more than 5,000 small towns being published for the first time in the 2012 economic census. So as before, we had a high population threshold. Now small communities with a threshold of 5,000 can have economic data. We also have detailed geographic area statistics that are being released, and you can see what's been released and learn more about the geographic area series by going to census.gov in the business section, the economic census. And as with any census, we roll out the data because there's so much to be published and analyzed that the first reports that come out are usually the national high-level reports, and then the other ones start to come out. The first report is basically the subject series, presenting national-level data at the six-digit North American Industry Classification System, the NAICS level, and the seven-digit products on the class level based on NAICS. North America Industry Classification System is a system whereby the U.S., Canada, and Mexico can report and collect data on all of the economic activity between the three nations, whereas before, keeping track of three different systems was kind of difficult. So now every industry has been broken down into some like 19 or so sectors, and you can find data through the NAICS on American Fact Finder. manufacturing and industry product analysis, mining and industry product analysis, and of course, the survey of business owners are some of the heavyweights in terms of the economic census reports that are released.
Okay, great. So how can I use the economic census to prepare my business plan?
Well, through the economic census, we do provide statistics that allow businesses, investors, policymakers, trade associations, even entrepreneurs and chambers of commerce answer vital questions, such as, what is the size of industries and businesses? How can we determine the economic activity of communities, large and small? And where should I place a new business? You've got data, economic data, and demographic data that can help you make that decision. What products in my industry are growing? What materials are purchased by my industry? And what industry purchases my product? So you can get not only economic, geographic, but also demographic information that can answer a lot of these questions for you. And pretty soon, I'd be remiss to not mention that pretty soon we are going to be releasing a census tool called the Census Business Builder, which will allow small business owners a way to easily navigate and use key demographic and economic data to help guide their research into opening a new business or expanding their existing business or even growing, you know, or looking to expand in different geographic areas. So keep your eye posted for that, and you can check on census.gov and Google Census Builder tool to get more information.
Wow, that's pretty powerful stuff. So every 10 years, the Census Bureau conducts a census. They collect data for apportionment and redistricting purposes. And I can tell you, I, for one, have used those terms interchangeably. You know, the apportionment and the redistricting, and that's incorrect. Can you tell us what these terms mean and the differences between the two?
It's a very common question. Apportionment is after each decennial census, the population count of the United States and overseas military and civilian dependents is used to calculate the number of representatives beyond the one per state, which each state is entitled. So with 435 members of Congress, this effort disperses the remaining 385 representatives based on the method of equal proportions. The method of equal proportions is applied to the population totals for states and overseas military and does not include the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the island areas, or the District of Columbia. So by law, the redistribution of Congress is required no later than December the 31st, following the collection of the census in the years ending 10. So in other words, we collect the census data as of April 1st, and by December the 31st of that year, we have to present the president the numbers. And therefore, the congressional districts are apportioned based on the population of that area. Redistricting. Okay, this is different than apportionment. Redistricting is the process of revising any geographic area that elects representatives based on census population distribution. So areas that use census data for redistricting include, but are not limited to, the U.S. Congress, state legislative bodies, a county or city council, and or school board.
Okay, great. Thank you. I probably will mess it up again, but I'm glad you took the time to tell us. You know, it's just something that if it's not, you know, in front of you constantly, you will forget. And I really do appreciate your coming out here and just breaking this down to us. Clearly, the census is not just for counting people. We as activists, we as engaged citizens really need to, you know, stay abreast of what's going on with the census. I want to remind our callers, the call-in number is area code 347-884-8121. And I also want to remind our guests in the chat room that if you have questions, please feel free to post them. You can see that Ileana is very, very knowledgeable, on the census. So local activists are interested in gearing up now for the next decennial census, which will take place in 2020. And as we can tell from the conversation so far, there's a lot at stake. We've got community allocation of resources and political representation at stake. So can you share some of the resources that are available to the general public so that we can educate ourselves on the redistricting process and then begin to, advocate for more resources in our communities?
Certainly. And the best resource that's available, and it is free and open 24/7, so you can do your own research, is at our main census.gov webpage. From that point on, a lot of people get a little bit intimidated. They don't know where to go from when they get to our page, but there's a search engine on the upper right hand side, and all you need to do is type in redistricting, and it will take you to our redistricting page. And from there, anybody can self-navigate to their points of interest. You will have information about the program, the redistricting program and apportionment. You have program phases description, because it's not just one shot, it's different phases that this goes about. The operation is done in different phases before the final outcome. And then, of course, you have data and maps for that area. And then also you can type in decennial census at census.gov and go to the history section and read up on all of the decennials since 1790 that were mandated by Congress. We do have areas in that page that give you overviews of the programs, which cover our agricultural census, the economic census, and of course the demographic censuses. And then you have a section that gives you decennial through the decades. And it gives you overviews, index of questions that were asked from 1790 till present. And also it gives you different policies or events that were going on in the nation at the time that prompted either adding questions or taking out questions or changing programs, because we weren't always the Census Bureau. And that was an offshoot of the past. And here is the history page that can give you all of that detail. And the more you know about it and the process, the more informed you are, the better you understand and participate in our programs. And that's the key issue there, is participation, because all of our information comes from the citizens, and they respond to the questions that we put to them. And without that data, all of the other things are not possible.
Right, right. And I can say from experience that the folks at the Census Bureau, particularly in your office, the Chicago Regional Office, have been very, very helpful. I work with the group, the Lawndale Alliance, and some other community activists, right around the time of redistricting. We wanted to make sure that communities like North Lawndale were not separated during the next redistricting process. So we had people from your office to come in and literally cut our head, not literally, I'll say figuratively cut our heads open. I was about to say literally, that's a bit strong, right? So figuratively cut our heads open and pour knowledge in about the census and reapportionment, how that works, how to navigate the website. And we were able to then empower ourselves to advocate, pretty intelligently, making the case for not splitting up North Lawndale amongst, different political boundaries, because we have a set of problems, I think, that are unique to an impoverished community, and it wouldn't make sense for us to have, several representatives, from one area, that would dilute, any advocacy. So as a result of working with you guys, we're able to state our case. So I want to say thank you again for that.
Absolutely, and anytime.
So can you give us a quick overview of the American Fact Finder website and some of the changes over the recent years? It's changed a lot in the past 5 years.
Yes, it has actually, from its inception to the current version that is online right now, it has undergone major revisions, and it's constantly going through enhancements. And all of these enhancements and revisions are usually based on our customer feedback. They work the tool, they use the data, they have the better understanding of how it would make the tool a lot more user-friendly and quicker to respond, because we do have a lot of data there. And American Fact Finder is basically our data tool. In that tool, we house data from several surveys, censuses, including the decennial, the American Community Survey, Housing Survey, and the Economic Census. So our Population Estimates Program puts this data in there as well. So there's a lot of data that when people start looking at it can get confused, but by going in the About Us section, it will provide an overview of what you're looking at. And so the tool allows you to look for data using a subject, a specific topic, a year. You can look for data under the survey or the program that you're interested in. It allows you to print these data tables, to download them, be it to a PDF or to Excel or CSV. You can edit the table, take out what you don't want, and just print out what you're looking for. And it also has a map feature that will allow you to illustrate or bring to highlight a certain data point that you're trying to get across to either your on your paper, your documentation, on your presentation. So it has quite a bit of features and pluses for the individual to start using and looking for data. Lots of data.
Yes. That, again, I keep saying how powerful it is, and you have to see it to believe it. So along those same lines, can you tell us about the Economic Census website and what some of the changes are there?
The Economic Census website is an information point for all things related to the Economic Census. The website presents statistics along with links to different Economic Census products and information. Mm-hmm. So the site itself has tabs for finding data. It has a tab for helping you find data. And it also gives you screenshots of what kind of data you know, and how you want it. Do you want data by industry, by geography, demographic data, data on topics, or NAICS-based codes data? So it has quite a bit of self-navigating points to the tools, to the topic-specific pages. And if you enter, for instance, in the NAICS area, there's a button that you click on and you key in a code for a specific industry or business, and it will bring out for you a guide page, if you will, that gives you a list of the different censuses and programs that collect data for that industry or product. And it will give you the geographic level at which it's published, and the sequence or the year that it is collected and published, and the tables that you can go to. So there's a lot of reference and a lot of tools that an individual can use, go down there and start pulling out data, or economic data, I should say, which is different than demographic.
Great. So in a nutshell, how is the American Fact Finder different from the Economic Census?
The American Fact Finder is a data tool, as opposed to the Economic Census, which is a program. The tool houses the data that the Economic Census collects. And so you have several censuses and surveys that collect data and house that data in American Fact Finder, as opposed to the Economic Census that has some guides and links, and will put you back to the reports through the links or the guides to American Fact Finder to pull your data. AFF is a tool to access the data, and the Economic Census, with regards to that, will produce the economic or industry type data that you would be looking for.
Okay, great. Okay, we have come to the end of our regular time, but you know, there are a couple questions I would like to ask, and I hope our listeners can bear with us. You know, there's quite a bit of information that Ileana has yet to share, and I just wanted to get to it right quickly. So we'll be on for about 5 minutes longer than normal. So please, if you can, bear with us. I wanted to ask a couple more questions of you, Ileana. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the ways that nonprofits, activists, and small business owners can use the Fact Finder, American Fact Finder?
American Fact Finder can be used as a data tool to find mm-hmm. data to plan your services and your policies. You can pull out demographic and geographic information to do market analysis. Mm-hmm. You can pull out information that will help you grow or expand your business or your service area. We have a lot of grant writers that depend on census data or that use census data because it is pretty reliable, pretty trusted data. We put it through rigorous testing, weighing, and analysis before we tabulate it and publish it out and put it out to the public. So it is trusted, it is good data, and you can use it for quite a lot of different programs and services.
And what I like is it's free.
You know, yes. Free and open 24/7.
Right. All too often, you know, I get offers from different consulting companies or data management firms, you know, trying to sell data. And what they seem to have done is repackage, you know, the data that you provide for free. So if you're willing to invest the time, you know, and do the analysis yourself, you'll be amazed at how powerful a presentation you can make for free. Mm-hmm. So the Census Bureau provides several opportunities for technical assistance. You have tutorials on your website. You guys just had a webinar today. You have publications and workshops and even more webinars. So how can organizations and small businesses arrange for Census Bureau representatives to provide hands-on technical assistance on site?
Very simple. All it takes is a phone call to our regional office or an email to any of our data dissemination specialists or even to the regional office, the Chicago regional office. They will make sure that we get the request. We have free courses that can teach you how to use the databases, the mapping tools, how to find local and national demographic information. And, you know, you can use that for your grant proposals. And then, of course, we will show you how to look for economic data and explain the differences between different data sets and programs and at what level of geography these data are available. And you can reach us at 630-288-9250. That is the data dissemination program area at the Chicago Regional Office. Or online mm-hmm. if they go to census.gov. And down at the mega footer of the main page, there's an area that says regional offices. I think it's on the left-hand side. They can click on that and find the Chicago Regional Office and send us an email through that. Or if they so allow, your listening audience that are interested, they can shoot us an email and ask to be placed in our contact database. And whenever we have webinars, we will send out an invitation to those individuals that have allowed us their email, and they can accept or decline the invitation to the specific webinar that we're holding for that that period, be it on a tool or explaining some census survey or program. It's up to them whether they, you know, you want to participate or not, and or mm-hmm. send a request if they would like for one of us to hold a workshop or a presentation. We not only cover the Chicago area, I should say the state of Illinois, but we also cover Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Arkansas, Missouri. We've got 8 states that we cover in this region.
Wow, that's huge, that's huge. Now, before we go, I want to give you one more chance to either call or type your chat room. Call-in number is 347-884-8122. Again, 347-884-1122. Okay, it doesn't look like questions in that room from our call. Come to the our show. I'd like to thank you so much, Ileana. You've been more than helpful. You really helped us to demystify what's going on with the census, and we don't have to wait every 10 years to hear from you. So I thank you so much again for being my guest, and would you share any parting thoughts and tell us how we can reach you one more time?
You can reach us via the regional office, the Chicago regional office, at 630-288-9250. Or you can shoot us an email to the Chicago regional office using the regional link through census.gov. Or last but not least, they can certainly contact you, Valerie, and you'll certainly know how to get in touch with me.
Yes, yes, yes. And my email address is consulting@valeriefleonard.com. And my phone number is 773-471-3886. And for those of you who are so inclined, there's going to be a census training session at Back of the Yards Library that will be on Wednesday, I believe, August 20th, Wednesday the 20th. And we will have Ileana go over economic census, and she's going to do a live demonstration of American Fact Finder. So if you're interested in that training, you should my contact information before you on the episode page, and feel free to follow up and let us know that you're coming. I thank Ileana. She has been so gracious. You know, every month, we're not doing it next month, but generally speaking, every month we go from one library branch to another all over Chicago. So different communities all over Chicago to do trainings on American Fact Finder and Census, well, census.gov, American Fact Finder, and the Economic Census. And Ileana is doing the training. I'm just reaching out to folks that I know from throughout the city who could use the information. So we hope that you can join us. And if not, our next training will be in Hyde Park in October. Again, give me a call or email me, and I can send you further information on that. So thank you for listening to Nonprofit Youth Radio Talk Show today. The show will be available for download within about an hour. And be sure to tune in next week when our guest will be Danielle Redman. She's a technology teacher in the Chicago Public School System. And she'll share an overview of how educators, nonprofit leaders, and small business owners can use technology to improve outcomes and productivity. So take care. Bye-bye.
All right, goodbye, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. And